Welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Beth Schild, and I have my favorite guest again here on the podcast today, my partner, Randy. Thank you for coming back and chatting with me. It's like my favorite thing.
I love it. No, I love our conversations.
So make sure this is by your face. There we go. Nope. Yeah. Okay. Today we're going to share about blending families and what it's been like for us to blend families. I have four kids. Randy has three kids and seven children, but I have two adult daughters, so we'll kind of share more about that later. And first of all, we just want to say, like, we are not experts on this topic. We have lived together for a little over a year. And we've learned a lot.
Oh, yeah, a lot.
Well, we have never done this before. And so we had no idea, right, what to expect, what it would be like. We just were like, we're doing it. Yeah. This feels good. Let's
Work,
go.
Love. Like, how hard could this be?
Right. And it's been beautiful and it's been hard. Right.
Yeah, it's been so amazing.
Mm-hmm. So, before we talk about moving in, something that we mentioned in our three-part series, I can't remember which part, but like the importance of talking with our kids about if they were good to move in together. Well, first of all, if they were okay, they were ready to meet each other, the kids to meet each other. And so we each asked the kids how they would feel about it, you know, and we honored that. And I think that's so important to give the kids a choice in that. And then we had conversations about moving in together after that, and the kids, you know, all felt great, felt good about it. And you just don't know what it's going to look like until you actually do it, right? So I remember when we first moved in, I think I wrote a card to each kid.
Well, yeah, you did. Yeah.
Yeah, with like a little note just saying, I'm so excited for this new chapter, you know, with you. I'm always a safe place if you need to talk about anything. Just wanted to also, with my own kids, acknowledge that this is going to be different and you can always come to me with whatever you need if you're struggling with anything. Just something that I like wanted to do personally. I just remembered that.
Yeah, I thought that was so sweet of you.
Yeah.
I know my kids appreciated it.
Yeah. So, yeah, so asking the kids how they feel about meeting, living together, you know, all the things. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't know if one of them would have been like, no, we're not ready. I'm not sure what we would have done, but we didn't need to cross that bridge because it wasn't there. So we move in together. My oldest daughter, when we moved in, decided to live on her own. And so I was down a kid right out of the gate.
Off the bat.
And what was funny too is when we were looking for a house, we were trying to please our kids.
Yeah. Make sure that everything was going to be perfect and comfortable and please everybody.
Right. Thinking that everyone needed to have their own room, which, like, hello, six kids. Like, it's just, anyway, we had to work through a lot of things, but we found a home that we loved and it was amazing. And, the moving process was fun. It was hard. It was a lot, but it was fun. So now that once we move in together, you know, it's an adjustment, everyone living together, right?
Yeah. I mean, it definitely creates discomfort because of the change, you know, and that's the thing that I'm glad we worked through at first was realizing, like, hey, we can't please everybody. And it's actually okay if people are a little like uncomfortable with this, because I think ultimately we trusted ourselves that, like, the kids are going to be in a loving home and that they're going to be seen and heard and understood, you know?
Right. And I think one of the first things we decided was we were never going to force connection or pressure for the kids to do things together if they didn't want to do things together. Now, like, the first family trip we went on before we moved in together, we rented a beach house. And just let the kids be free to do what they wanted to do and just naturally let connections evolve. And because we were all together in the space, like they absolutely did.
They did, and it took them a little bit of time. It didn't happen at first, you know. And I mean, let's be honest, like, we obviously want our kids to connect and we want them to get along and everything to be perfect
We
because,
don't want them to be uncomfortable. We want them to love each other.
yeah. And, you know, the fear, I think, riding in of like them not getting along, it, you know, that fear can really kind of control how you show up a lot of times. And that's what kind of gives you that instinct, like, well, let's just force them to do things and let's make them connect and like let's make sure that everybody's happy 24/7. But I love that we were able to sit and talk about all of this beforehand.
And we were really okay with discomfort coming up for the kids. And it did
Oh yeah,
sometimes. Like,
sometimes.
this feels different. And just, and we'll talk more about their feelings and that later. But I think that's one of the, it also, I feel like, took the pressure off of me when you were like, they get to show up however they want. They don't want to hang out with anyone. That's totally okay. And I was like,
I know, just, oh, there's no
Like,
pressure.
really? You're okay with that?
And I loved it on that first trip. Like it took them a while, but I remember being out on the beach and I remember like your boy and my middle son like just started playing catch and your son started teaching my son how to throw a
I
football
know, my
and
heart.
you know, and it was just like this natural evolution of events that just took place without any pressure from us, like go play with him, go do this.
Right, because when kids feel pressure, then they're doing things out of that. It's not authentic because they feel like they have to, because they feel like and it's just letting it evolve organically, even if it takes a long time, is totally okay. Honoring what feels good to the kids is a big one. The next thing that we've done, and I've also had to work through creating, like making, like really creating safety for each other, is sometimes I need time with just my kids.
Yeah,
And sometimes you do.
absolutely.
And we don't take that personally. And I think a lot of times our kids, they still need, every kid, whether you're in a blended family or not, needs some one-on-one time. And I think that was also something that I was like, you're okay with that? Like, I want to go on a trip with just my kids.
Absolutely.
Right. And it doesn't mean I don't love you or I love your kids, but sometimes I need that because we were like this little pack before,
Yeah.
And so we have done that where you'll take your kids somewhere, I'll take my kids somewhere, and we just honor what we're needing and what the kids are needing too. Yeah, I think it's really important to not, we don't project guilt for that or think that there's something wrong or you're not taking it personally. Like, I want it. Why don't you want me to come? Why
Right.
don't you want the kids to come?
Right. Me kind of taking it personally and being like, well, we're a family now. Like, why do you not want us all to go? And you know, I know the importance, especially for kids, that they need that one-on-one time with their parent,
You're so good about that with
and
your
I'm never
kids.
gonna be in the way or step in the way of that, you know.
Yeah, so we do take that time, and I love the one-on-one time, the trips, right? And then we still do a couple times a year, do a big blended family trip.
Yeah.
Right. And we've done that and it's really fun, but it's just creating space to figure out what our priorities are and then meeting each other with those
Yeah.
and honoring it, I think is great. One of the things that we do, and again, we're just throwing out what's worked for us.
Yeah.
It's there's no right or wrong here. But we decided early on that we're not going to discipline each other's kids.
Right.
We First of all, I don't want to discipline your kids,
Same.
but we just want to create as much safety as we can for the kids to feel comfortable and good in the house. And if I notice something in your kids, I come to you with it.
Yeah. And same. And it's not to tattletale. And it's a really uncomfortable conversation because sometimes when I have to bring something to your attention, it's scary for me because I don't want you to think that I think your kids are bad or this or that or, you know. Or when you bring something to me, it's like on my end, it's like, oh no, does she think my kids are a burden? Is this too much? Is this, you know? So it does. It definitely puts us both into our work a lot.
It does. And sometimes it's hard to, like, when you see my kids say they're disrespectful, or you see me not having the boundaries that I want to have with them or something. It's hard to for you to watch that. And the same for me too. Sometimes I want to step in and have your back, really. And this, I know it's the same for you to me. And so it's a difficult place, as you know, basically being the step parent of, no, this is actually yours to me. I don't have to carry this either, though. And that was a hard thing for me for a long time too. It was like I felt like I did have to carry it, and I did have to worry a lot.
Yeah, you definitely did. And I did too, to an extent. And it's true. It's like I like you'll express boundaries that you want with the kids, and then the same thing will happen over again. And so then to bring that to your attention, I do it with love because it's your boundaries that you are expressing. But I never come to you where it's like, you got to set these boundaries. You have to do this. It's more like, hey, how did you feel about that situation? Right. And it's like, and then we can kind of get into the nitty-gritty of why that situation is there. And
Yeah, we've done so much work on this.
I know.
Yeah, and I think it's also just a different dynamic for us. The way we've done it is, you know, we don't discipline the kids together, but knowing that we're each seeing each other, like it's like we hold each other accountable in ways that if like I was still a single parent, I would probably let more go, right? But it's not because I feel like I have to because you're watching me or you're whatever, but it's like, oh shit, he knows like I'm working on this with this kid. And sometimes it's easier to just not hold the boundary.
So much easier. Let's keep the peace. Let's
And
just.
sometimes we do. Sometimes we choose to
And
just.
sometimes we're not perfect at it. We're still definitely learning through this. And, you know, I think ultimately it's like, what's the goal in all this? Right. And what we're really trying to do is teach the kids the importance of boundaries, teach the kids how to be responsible. And it's all because we love them.
Right. And I think the most important thing is to communicate instead of holding on to things that are bothering us. And that's hard to do. That's vulnerable. And you know, worry like, oh, he's going to take this personally, or I don't want him to feel like he's walking on eggshells with anything, or but then if I don't express, then I start to feel resentful. You know, but it takes vulnerability and courage to express and safety.
And
So
safety.
this is something we've also been worked on, and we continue to create that safety for each other so that our nervous systems are getting used to like, okay, it is okay to express this, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I think our hardest thing is chores
Yeah.
and getting the kids to we want the kids to want to help without being asked. And this is our hardest battle, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
And when we really look at it, it's like it's so exhausting sometimes to continue to teach them things. And you and I are both such like doers, and well, it's just easier if I just do it really
It's so
quick.
much easier if I just pick up after all of
I
them.
do this all the time with the trash.
Right.
And then I'm like, why am I doing this?
And that's what builds a silent resentment, right?
So we were talking about
Chores.
chores and figuring that out. And what I was going to say is this really all comes back to us being exhausted by having to continue to teach and enforce boundaries with the kids doing work. And I think every parent can resonate with this.
Every parent, I mean.
So there's times where we just do it. And sometimes I just want quiet, like, and just do it myself.
Yeah, that's definitely my go-to is See it. It's easier if I just get it done, then I don't have to have the conversation with you and be like, hey, can you have your kids clean up that mess that they just left in the kitchen? You know, it's like, I'll just do it. But then I realize that like that does start to build silent resentment. You
It
know,
does.
and I'm not doing anybody any favors. I'm missing out on a critical teaching opportunity and an opportunity to connect.
So this is our work right now, and we're still in it.
Yeah.
We're still figuring it out. So anyone else that has tips and wants to send them our way, we are welcome to any of that. Okay. The next thing that we have really been mindful and conscious of is holidays. Holidays for divorced kids are a lot. And then add in a blended family dynamic where you're bringing families together for holidays, is a lot. And it's a lot for us too.
It is a lot for us. We're managing, trying to create an amazing experience, but also the grief that comes with it, with the change and things being different and, you know. All the different emotions that are cycling through the house.
And so from the very beginning, we knew that big extended family vacations were not a thing. Yeah, we just knew it would be too overwhelming to do big extended family stuff for the holidays on each side. We're just like, no.
No.
And my family was totally understanding of that. I think yours
And
was too.
mine was too,
And here's the thing though, if they would have been like, we want you to come and blah, 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 we could be like, it makes sense you want that. This is what we're doing.
yeah.
That's our boundary.
Right. And it's because that's what felt good to us, you know. And maybe that can change over time, but you know.
Right. But what's most important, I think, is to honor what feels good to you and your new family unit, right? And being okay with other people being disappointed. And for us, it was like what we keeping in mind the nervous systems of our kids, and some of our kids are more sensitive as well. Just us bringing our kids together
That's a lot.
is a lot. And so just we I'm really I grateful that we're able to do that. And we're not people pleasing or thinking that we're not good people because we're not doing this with the big family and all the things like that. And then I want to talk about grief with the holidays. So grief comes up a lot for holidays, and it's not just with the kids, with us too.
Yeah.
And being able to express that to each other, I think, I don't know if I expressed it first or if you.
I think you did first, yeah.
Yeah, because it can be confusing because it's like, it's not like I want to be with my ex anymore or that I wish I could go back to my past life, but like, the grief of so your body remembers what it felt like to be together as a family in the holidays. So being able to hold that space for each other and not feel bad about it, because I felt a little bad having griefs about that sometimes, and I think you did as well.
Yeah.
And then your kids sometimes having some grief come up and honoring that and validating that for them.
Yeah, and that's one thing, like when, you know, families split up, like that is a big part of the grief is grieving all the future vacations that you had planned or the future holidays that you had pictured in your mind. And even though you grieve that and that was a while ago, those holiday moments can recycle that back up. And just creating space to let that be okay. You know, for each other and for the kids, and not try to jump in and rescue them from those hard feelings or, you know, just try to fix it, you know, just kind of validate kind of where they're at and acknowledge that, you know, change can be hard sometimes, but it also can be beautiful too if you see it and you allow it to be.
Right. So it's teaching them to kind of feel their feelings, validate them, right? Love them, love on them. And then sometimes they need help creating a new story or open up to acceptance for what is right now. And, also acknowledging what it's like to share holidays. Sometimes it's a lot on their systems. And so not taking it personally if they're having a hard time or they have a meltdown or They don't want to be at sitting at the family dinner at this time, like letting them just be what they need to be, not forcing them to be anything different.
No, I'm doing enough work. Like it would be really easy to, and this is just an example, a hypothetical, but like if your kids are having a tough time on the holiday, then for me that brings in, oh man, the kids don't want me here, me or my kids here. Like, you know, it would be easy to fall in that trap. But the thing is like I completely understand where they're at, and it makes so much sense. And I don't take it personally because I get it. And, you know, kids didn't choose it.
Right, which is huge to not take things personally. Something else we do that we try to do is connect with each other's kids. And some kids are harder to connect with than others. And so I've learned that, with your kids too. It's like, okay, one of your kids, I hadn't felt like I was connecting with a lot. And so And I wanted to connect, right? But I don't want to force the connection. So what did I do? I literally was like, universe, show me a way that I can connect with this, with one of your kids. I don't want to name names. And I just opened up to that. And almost right away, an opportunity came in. And it was so beautiful. That made me so happy when we played chess.
I know.
And we have to intentionally put it out there though, otherwise there can be zero connection. And it doesn't mean I'm connected to your kids all the time and it's so beautiful and perfect. It's not that at all, but I was just noticing that I hadn't felt connected to this particular kid. And so, okay, I'm the adult. So what can I do? And it was such a beautiful moment. And these things take time to feel connected and close to each other's kids.
Yeah, because there's been times where we've both tried to connect and got shut down.
Right, the kid
Okay.
might say no, and we're like, I'm saying okay, and of course, like a little part of me is like, oh, I wish that they would have said yes, but then at the same time, it's again, I don't take it personal.
No.
I'm not going to force it.
Just like we don't force the connection with the kids amongst each other, we don't force it on to connect with us as well. And I think that's where I've been with it too, is I've just tried to like pay attention to for little moments where I can connect, you know, with your kids, you know, try to find a common interest, or, you know, there's an opportunity to fix something around the house, you know, have them come help me, you know, so I can teach them, you know,
You're so great about
like
that.
with your son's bike, you know, it's one of those things where it's
His
like,
bed
right,
broke.
it's like it would be easy for me, yeah, or the bed, it'd be easy for me to just jump in and fix it. And that would be the part of me that would want to kind of show your kids, like, oh, like I do so much for you. That's my pattern.
Then you'll
Like,
like me.
then you'll like me. Like, let me prove my worth to you guys. Right. So our old patterns can come in too, even with the kids. And I've had to slow myself down a lot. And, you know, like the bed situation with your son, like, you know, he broke it and it was an accident. Nobody was in trouble. But I tried to slow down and be like, okay, this is actually a moment where I can have a good teaching moment and to be able to connect with him on a level that, you know, otherwise I wouldn't have if the bed never broke.
Right. And so you did most of it, but you taught him
I
and you
did, but
fixed it
I stood
together.
there and just kind of walked him through it. And I, you know, and I'm sure that was the last thing he really wanted to be doing was fixing his bed. But also, like, I want to teach him how to like do these things for when he's on his own,
Yeah,
you
I was
know.
so grateful for that. And he like it he gets to feel that satisfaction of like, I did this too. And so of course kids aren't always going to want to like do the work. They're so much easier to just fix it for me.
Yeah, just do it for me, fix it for me.
And that kind of leads into the next thing that we have really focused on and continue to focus on is teaching consideration. So I was feeling like, I don't know if I would say resentful, but just feeling like the kids were not considering each other. Just kind of like ships passing by and not even like saying hello or, and one of the highest forms of love is consideration. And it's our job to teach them that. And so we started asking them, do you know what consideration is? And you did it with your kids and I did it with mine. And so we taught them, it's like asking each other, oh, how was your day? Or, saying hello, just acknowledging someone's presence. And I feel like that's been such a beautiful connecting thing to teach them. And again, it's our job, it's on us.
Yeah, and shout out to you, because what I love that you did in that moment to teach them, you asked them all how they liked to
Oh, yeah,
be
that's right.
considered. What helps them to feel considered, that somebody cares about them, and so
And then
then
we talked about what we how we feel
how, yeah, like how
considered.
exactly, and then kind of knowing everybody's language around what they like to feel considered. Sometimes it's just an acknowledgement, or for us, it's like clean up after yourself without us having to talk, like, tell you a million times, like,
And we get to practice with it. So it's like,
and we're
so,
still practicing it, right?
right.
And
When you pick your kids up, ask them how their day is. Then they get to say, Dad, how was your day? How was work? And then remember when they did it for the first time and you were like, I was like, how did that feel? You're like, so
I
good.
was like, whoa, they've never asked me that,
Hey, because they haven't been taught.
I know, I know.
I love consideration. I feel like I could do a whole thing on that because it's so beautiful to consider others, and it's such a beautiful feeling to be considered. And it's
Yeah.
something that we got to teach.
It is, and obviously it's one of those things that we have to continue to teach and remind and point out to the kids sometimes, and it's just an ongoing thing, and it's not perfect. The kids aren't perfect at it. We're not perfect at it.
No, of course not. And then we do lots of things that we've to try to create connection, dinners and fun things to do with the kids, not all the time, also letting them be bored. But something we've done more lately is getting their birthday card, decorating for their birthday, and then having kids write in the cards.
Yeah.
That's been such a beautiful thing. And then
Yeah.
and seeing the kids read them,
I know.
I love that so much. We like to play games a lot. That's been really fun. Yeah, and what I was gonna say is, so April, May, June, like 4 months after we moved in together, so my older daughter moved out, and then my second daughter went away. And without me really realizing, I had not felt the grief of just dynamics changing. And so I wasn't blaming it on the new family dynamic, but I was like, that unprocessed grief I held on to for a long time. Also because I felt like it was so quiet.
Yeah.
But I think this is for anyone listening who's blended families, like when dynamics change, there's grief there. And when you don't feel the grief, it can show up as projecting onto the new dynamic as it being its fault for you feeling that way. And I feel like I did that for a while until I finally was like, I miss my daughters. I also had grief come up just missing being with just my kids. And I couldn't feel that grief because I felt bad for feeling that way. Like I shouldn't feel that way. I should, be happy that this is the dynamic now.
Well, yeah, and you're taking on your my perceived, or you were taking on what my reaction might be for feeling grief.
I feel like I couldn't express it because I didn't want to hurt your feelings, which
Right.
I'm not powerful enough to do.
Right. And it does. It takes courage, because grief is vulnerable. And we're going to hit on that again, because that's where connection truly lies. And to be able to create enough safety for you to finally feel it and trust me that, like, I've got me, and that I'm not going to take it personal, and that, I'm going to validate that grief and it makes sense.
And the grief was so real.
It is so
I
real.
just wasn't letting myself feel it or really, I don't know, because I was so worried about you or I was judging that I shouldn't feel that way, which when you do that, it just suppresses the grief even more. So finally, like, I feel like I've felt it slowly in stages. Right? And it makes sense why
Yeah,
I feel
makes so
that.
much sense.
It doesn't mean anything about my love for you or your kids or our dynamic. It's just grief from change. And I think that's a big thing that not a lot of people talk about. And then letting go of old traditions and making new ones. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, because that's the change part, right? I mean, we all kind of get attached to traditions, and that's what feels familiar to our nervous system and creates that safety. And so when things change, obviously, it can be tough. But it's also been really fun to create new traditions and create new memories and involve everybody in it. And, I think the biggest thing is we try to involve the kids and helping decorate for the holidays. We try to keep some things the same, we've kind of what were your old traditions, what were ours, what was
What's
important.
important to you? What can you let go of?
Yeah, what can you let go of and what can we create new, And there's been some really connecting moments in doing that, and there's been some grief and stuff that's come up too,
And just welcoming all the emotion
all of it.
is so important. And for me, like, and just not judging it, not judging my emotions. I remembered what came up for me was, I think, acknowledging that we are living two lives every other week. We're living a life with the kids and a life without the kids. And our kids are living a life in one household and another household. So it's a lot on the nervous system to figure out how to take care of that, And allowing the kids to take a beat when they are switching houses for the day. Unfortunately, like, we don't know all the everything that's going on in their lives a lot of the time. That's just the way it is with divorced families. And so really trying to check in with, like, how they're doing. Do they need anything? Do they need some space? If they're dysregulated or whatever, just kind of letting things be and settle. I feel like every week this is a thing, right? And then for you and I, adjusting to, not that you're ever turned off as a parent, but not having five kids at once and then having them all.
Yeah, it goes from a little bit of energy in the house to a lot of energy and emotions in the house. And I love that we've talked about this because the only thing that's in our control with all of this is just kind of how we show up consistently. We just try to create the consistency, the weeks that we have the kids and, just try to create that space where they can feel their emotions and,
Yeah, well, what would you say that is, like, the number one thing we try to create for them?
Safety.
As much safety as we possibly can for them to be who they are, to have whatever feelings are coming up, to honor their needs and just feel so safe to do that. And so I think, so going back to the living two lives, it's been hard. It's hard for us because it's like we are so pulled energetically when the kids are here. And so we've had to be really intentional about what do we want to create with the kids this week and how can we enjoy it to, like, as best we can. Or, you see what I'm saying? I want to just be real about the difference and what the impact on the nervous system is.
For us.
Yes.
No, it is. And that's what I was saying. It goes from a little bit of energy to a lot of energy and emotion in the house. And it is shocking to the nervous system. And you and I have both been working on not taking all that on and creating safety for them to feel it, but not fixing it and carrying it for everybody all the time. And,
Otherwise, we're so drained and depleted that we need a couple days to recover once the kids are gone. Because we care so much, and then we've had to learn how to, like, not rescue and have more boundaries so that we can have more energy. And I think taking time for you and I when we have the kids is really valuable as well. I mean, we try to be as present with them as we can, but also like taking a walk at night and talking. I love to when we can do that. Every once in a while, grabbing lunch when we're running errands or something, like taking little moments for us. It's like you don't have to be with the kids constantly all the time. That's not healthy for anyone.
Right. And that's what we've learned is, and we actually did do that a little bit in the beginning, made sure that we were just there at their beck and
Right.
call
Yes.
24/7, and then we would be depleted. And I think the biggest fear behind that was they've been through a lot. And the last thing I want my kids or your kids to think is that we abandon them for each other.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, and that was just a story that, like, was at least I was creating in my head. And so it was hard to be like, have still me time and just live in a daily life and then have us our connection time when the kids are there and constantly being there for the kids and doing everything for them. And, you know, we had a shift and change a lot of things, like teaching the kids to make lunch for themselves, like for school. And, you know, but there's a lot of fears that come in with blending families like that, and it can be very, very exhausting. And as long as you're aware of it and what is it that we really want to teach the kids and what boundaries do we need, and it's important to have boundaries with kids, even when they don't like it.
Right. That they don't like it, but they underlying they really do.
Yeah.
They need the structure. And yeah, so anything else you would that I forgot or that you would add that you can
No,
think of?
I think that's
Okay.
it.
So this kind of wraps it up. We just wanted to share, we had a request from one of my followers to do a podcast on blended families. And so I was just like, totally, we can talk about our experience
Yeah.
and we're still learning.
Definitely still learning.
And there's, it's beautiful. It's hard. It's unexpected. Like we never thought we'd be living this way,
Yeah,
right?
of course.
And yeah, it's just trusting in each other too, that we're going to work through anything that comes up. I love seeing you like with your kids and having time with them.
Same.
And I'm grateful for the freedom that I have to be like, I'm going here with this kid. Like I need some time with this kid. And if you're having one-on-one time with you, like we've come to this place where we know we're not, we don't have to pull ourselves away from our kids for our
For our
partner.
partner.
And that is so freeing. And I think our kids feel that too. That yeah, so I think one more thing just I would say is slowing down more and trying to just be aware more of where the kids are at and being okay if they're uncomfortable, but seeing them, what do you need right now? Noticing things rather than just like letting the crazy sweep you away.
Right.
Right, because you got lots of nervous systems coming online in different states. So I think that's it.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening. We love feedback. So if you have a blended family and you have something to share that's worked well for you, like we would love to hear from you. And thank you everyone for being here and for listening. And we'll see you in the next episode.